Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 610. It's the 13th of October, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers Sky. Good results the other day, I thought, against the FTSE, which is falling, of course. He also covers EasyJet, Unilever, and Randgold Resources. Plus, I've got Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Conviviality, which, of course, owns Bargain Bouge. And, of course, today, I'd love that name. Bargain Bouge. You know what you're getting. You're getting booze at a bargain. That's it. Simple. Also, I've got the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. These are companies highly followed. These lists are worth looking at. It's money flow, essentially. You know, people don't follow companies for no reason. It's a good reason behind it. I've also got the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list is Highland Natural Resources. Submitted by Ryan. Thank you very much, Ryan, for submitting that. By the way, if you know of a company that you think should be on other people's watch lists, then get in contact and submit that stock. And all you need to do is go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Scroll down there. You'll see one of my blog posts. Scroll down. You'll see a big picture of watch list. And there's a link below that. Click that. It'll take you to a form. It takes 5-10 minutes to fill in, depending how in-depth your research is. And then I could be featuring it on a future podcast. So I say could. I will do. If the research is good, if it's people messing around, then I won't, of course. Anyway, listen, I'll get to Highland Natural Resources and the reason why Ryan reckons you should add this to your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey from FinancialOrbit.com. Morning, Chris.
Hi there, Justin. How are things?
Not too bad, but it's funny, you know, a week in the markets is quite a long time. We spoke last week, and we've continued to see a bit of a sell-off on the FTSE. And, I mean, one of the stocks, we've had a few results out today, actually. Unilever, which are, of course, having a battle with Tesco's over Marmite and pot noodles and all that stuff. Sky is out today. Good sort of update, I thought, but it's struggling against the wider FTSE sell-off. And, of course, we mentioned EasyJet last week, so we'll cover all these, I think. And that has struggled to gain a bit of ground. What do you want to go with? Sky first?
Let's go with Sky first. Let's start with the easy one, because actually what Sky are doing is eminently sensible. They've obviously changed their name in recent months from Be Sky B, and the reason for that is because effectively they've merged together all of their European operations, the UK pay TV, the German pay TV, the Italian pay TV. That's a huge sort of synergy opportunity for them, and that you can see that in the numbers today. They're talking about costs, their internal costs going down, revenues are going up, basically as they innovate and push out products across a pan-European network. All of that is great. The only thing I think holding the shares back, and you haven't got too much of a sense of it in these numbers because you're just seeing revenues rather than sort of the other side, which may be profits and matters like that, is some of the cost of content. You know, that's the thing that's worrying the market. But my feel is things like live sport, original drama, these are things which attract eyeballs and retain eyeballs. And they've got no problem in terms of getting hold of people and getting people to pay for their services. My feeling is, look, anything below the £9 level, and they are below £9 today, I think they were £8.65 when I last looked, is attractive to me. So my feeling is Sky fundamentally should be a £10 stock. The fact that you can buy them at £8.65 today suggests to me one of the more interesting FTSE 100 companies today, because they've got self-help. You know, as they fully integrate these European operations, that self-help and that will allow them to progress despite some of the, you know, potential shabbiness of the UK economy and everything else, which is outside of their control.
Yeah, and they said there in the the revenues increased for 13% with your revenues, but like-for-like was on a currency, you know, comparative base, 7%. But, it's, you know, because of Europe now, and the pound is tanking a little bit, the European side of it is doing quite well, of course.
And
I just see them from a consumer. I just genuinely think they are probably the best offering out there. You know, I've tried a few others, and I think they've got it right, and they are pushing forward into, you know, cutting-edge stuff. They are doing VR. They're doing, you know, sort of super ultra HD. So they're keeping ahead of the curve. And I know there's a lot of competition on, you know, across broadband TV and all this. they've also got that sort of Now TV, so they're over everything, and they are like they're trying to do a cost cutting thing. But yeah, I think at this level, you know, it's one to tuck in the back pocket there for
precisely,
a while.
Precisely. Yeah, and a not unreasonable dividend too, pushing 5%.
Yeah.
Look, it's a sticky product. It's I think it's one of the last things people cut, despite maybe personal austerity or stuff like that. Maybe you regress to the TV sofa or something, and your Sky box sets and everything else. Who knows? But all I know is 865 odd as it is at the moment. That feels a good level to me. I could see this at 10 quid plus in the next year.
And of course, I mean, they'll be trying now to get a lot of people signed up for Christmas and the football season coming in. So it's a busy time for them, I suppose. Moving on to sort of a stock we talked about last week, EasyJet. And we said, you know, that seemed a decent value at these levels. But they've not bounced at all, really, have they? They're still sort of knocking around that level of where they were sort of last week, or dipped below it. What do you reckon?
I thought you were going to say, Justin, that the shares haven't taken off. But anyway, there you go. The share's still kicking around that sort of sub £9 level, £8.80 odd as we speak at the moment. Still seem to be very good value. Lots of fear concerning FX exposures, concerning what the hell happens if there's uncertainty about the relationship between the UK and Europe, etc. I think all of this is materially overdone. The numbers are good. I've run the numbers, and you're talking about a sub 10 times earnings. I reckon a 5% dividend yield. I like the fact that earlier this week they got away a bond issue at a good level. I thought, as they correctly said, that showed a bit of confidence in their longer term attributes and orientation. I think personally this is one of the most interesting stocks in the FTSE 100 today, and sub £9 as it is at the moment, my fair value is still low teens pounds, so I could see this at a 12 or 13 pound level once you get some stabilisation of the sort of the polarised views on Brexit and everything else, and they put together one or two trading statements which show at the very least stabilisation in their progress as they factor in sort of things like FX and sometimes lower costs per seat. But you know, don't forget, they're still growing fast. They've still got a model which works very well, which they can flex up and down as customer demand changes. All I would say to people is, go on an EasyJet flight, see if you like the experience, see if the flight is full, see if you think it's a business that you think is attractive. If that's the case, maybe consider not only buying a flight, but buying the shares as well.
Yeah, Sky and EasyJet, two very strong brands, I think, that stand out, you know. And talking about brands, let's go on to Unilever, who have been arguing over their brands with Tesco. And I actually went, because I saw a news report on the BBC Business Service here, and it showed a picture of sold-out items on Marmite. So I actually went to Tesco website and looked at Marmite, and it's true. I screenshotted it, and I put it in my daily podcast there, that Marmite items are sold out, and you can't get any. And so they're arguing over this currency problem, aren't they?
Absolutely. Well, you're either going to hate or love the fact that Marmite's unavailable, I guess, but there you go. My view is, look, the trouble is, who's got the upper hand here? Is it Tesco's or is it Unilever? And yes, brands are important. Some of these brands are central to life, if you like, in the UK. But ultimately, and you can see this by the Unilever results today, they're focusing on price rather than volume. That's good for them. That's sensible for them. They're happy to trade off volumes in order to get prices through. Here's what's going to happen. This is part of an ongoing negotiation that you always see between big customers and big suppliers. They're going to compromise. They'll meet in the middle somewhere. Tesco wants the brands on their shelves. Unilever wants to ultimately sell those brands through somebody like Tesco's. It's just got to the public stage because, you know, that's what will allow a forcing of the issue. And they'll meet in the middle, and this will get back into the shops or get back online in due course. As for the Unilever numbers, look, the numbers were okay. I just think Unilever is an expensive share. It's a safe share. It's got brands which people love. It's not going to disappear, clearly, anytime soon. But I look at the stock at £36, and I really struggle to make it work. And compared to some of the other, those couple of other FTSE names you've mentioned already, I just don't see relative value here in Unilever. Yes, it's safe. Yes, you can sleep well at night and all of those gubbins. But the reality is, I just don't think you're going to make money in Unilever shares over the near time. And the fact that they're squabbling with Tesco's is no great help. For me, I've got a watch at about 32 quid. I'm going to sit on the sidelines on this one until then.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. I mean, I don't know how many brands are in there. I mean, there are quite a few. I'm looking on the site here, and it's got Marmite, Ben and Jerry. Do they own Ben and Jerry's now?
Yeah, that's right. No, they brought Ben and Jerry's into that devilish commercial world, etc. a few years back. So there you go. If you think it's right on to eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream, I'm afraid, hate to break it to you, but Unilever's accountants wouldn't agree with you.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, as a consumer, I mean, if it was one brand, you could see that the company owning that brand would probably buckle, you know? But because you own quite a lot of brands, and because would you change your shopping habit? I mean, if your stuff is not, if it's one brand, you say, oh, I'll miss do without this week, and it would affect the company's sales. But with, if it's lots of brands, that you may even change people's shopping habits. If a lot of the stuff you buy is Unilever products, you may even go somewhere else, you know? And yeah. Also, an added fact for Tesco is like, you know, these low-cost supermarkets that don't offer brands pretty much, you know, then you know, it's going to help them, isn't it? Because it doesn't affect them whatsoever. So they have none of that bargaining problem. So it's an interesting, it is a battle of brinkmanship here and negotiations. Precisely. We'll see.
Precisely.
It will play out. And obviously for both of them, they'll have to find a solution there. Yeah. All right. What else are you looking at? You mentioned Rangold.
We mentioned Rangold a few weeks ago. I said, always said £70 is a really interesting number for Rangold. If you look on the chart, the old saying of the old resistance becomes the new support, I think is very applicable. £70 is a great level, I think, for the shares. We're kicking around those levels at the moment. Some interesting news out in the last few days. They're still squabbling with the tax authorities in Mali, where they have a good chunk of their gold operations. You know, this all sounds apocalyptic at face value, but here's the reality. Rangold is the number one taxpayer in Mali. They have been for many years. When Mali had a coup a few years back, I was told this directly by the CEO a number of years back. The coup leader phoned up the Rangold CEO and said to him, please, please don't stop gold production because we need the tax revenue. Mm. And so, you know, the Malian government and Rangold, they are close. Mm. It's squabbling over relatively small amounts of money, and it's nowhere near as apocalyptic as people think. So my view would be, look, if you're worried about, unstable markets, if you're worried about inflation, a falling pound or anything else, then maybe gold is an attractive asset per se. But all I do know is that in the larger cap space, Rangold, in terms of production, in terms of grade, in terms of vision of the management team, make an awful lot of sense. When you build mines, looking at double-digit returns at $1,000 gold, you're doing all right at $1,265 gold. So they're still a very, very, very stronghold if you've got a chunk of them. But if you haven't, I would really suggest 70 quid is a very good level if you're looking at Rangold. I've certainly bought a few more in recent days.
Yeah, I mean, the only sort of a doubt on the horizon is that we recently had the Fed meeting news come out, didn't we? And that they are now closer to raising rates than they have been since December last year. And of course, interest rates goes up there. It affects that. So I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see what effect that has. But like I say, it's coming back down to levels now where it's decent supported. Like.
Absolutely.
There we are. Do you know what? In fact, if you look at the gold price and look at a Rangold chart, it's pretty much very similar, you know?
Yeah, that's right. I think that the difference will be good gold equities over time give you leverage. And that tends to happen, unsurprisingly, in times of gold price appreciation. Now, we can debate. It's another story as to where the gold price is going. My feeling is it's well supported and ultimately will push up. Clearly, the world is a funny place. There's too much credit around. Gold has a place in your broader monetary system, and I think a place in your personal portfolio as well. So I think the gold price is supported at the very least at these levels. So therefore, what you want is a gold company that makes money at the prevailing gold price and ultimately gives it back to you in terms of dividends or new growth opportunities. That's Rangold. Whether you get a free ride on the gold price kind of going rampant up to $1,500, $2,000, that's another question. That will lift all boats. Rangold will nicely participate in that. But my view is always buy the best, and then you can play the general sort of beta trend as well.
Marvellous. Chris, love it to chat. Speak next week.
Speak soon. Thanks, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You're on, Al.
Very good morning, Justin. I'm really good. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right. You know, it's... I mean, my portfolio's doing well. I'm happy. There's a couple of obviously red ones in there, but in the course of time, I'm hoping it'll not be like that. But yes.
Well, I'm pleased, as I said when we spoke last, I picked up Trifast, at £1.52, and it was at £1.70 last time I looked. So you know, that's a nice little investment for the future. Just going to lock that one in. And of course, you know, like you, I mean, holding Shell and some of the big mining stocks like Rio, got BP as well, and all of those are absolutely flying at the moment. So they're flying, so I've got the capital gain there, and of course we've got that chunky yield every quarter.
Nice. All right, fella. Well, what are we looking at today? What stock have you got in your radar?
Well, it's a Christmas tipple stock. It's
already? You're worse than the supermarkets.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like Will Ferrell, you know, in his Elf outfit saying, can we put the tree up now? You know, I'm getting excited for Christmas. So I'm actually looking at the former Bargain Booze company. Don't know if you remember that, them, Just, but I can't say I was a regular visitor there, but I'm sure I would have been if I had one around the corner.
I think even that title, though, appealed to a certain demographic, didn't it? Bargain Booze. High end. You're not going to see Hurrah Henry's in there. What have you got, Sean? Looking at the high-end drinks, I think it's a Bargain Booze. They don't mess around. They do what it states on the tin there, don't they?
Well, they do. Well, it sums up images of sort of six packs of Tennent Super, doesn't it? You know, that's kind of where we're heading with this. But clearly, management recognise that because they changed the name to Conviviality. CVR is the Epic Code, and of course, Conviviality, as we know, was floated on AIM a couple of years ago. And I'm maintaining my focus here on companies that are UK centric, operating in the UK, so they benefit from a burgeoning UK economy. And of course, as we start ahead towards Christmas, you've got to look at companies like this, because as the nights draw in and get darker, our alcohol consumption increases, and you know, as we know, that's not necessarily a good thing. But
sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Depends.
Sometimes it is, yeah.
Especially in a house full of in-laws and stuff. Sometimes it can be explosive.
Yes, sometimes it's the only solution, isn't it?
So anyway,
Conviviality Retail. So let's just look at the company. It's an independent drinks wholesaler of wine, beer, spirits, tobacco, and confectionery. They've got two main segments of the business: Conviviality Retail, which is the former Bargain Booze, the aforementioned Bargain Booze, and Wine Rack, and Matthew Clark, which is the UK's largest independent wholesaler, and it distributes booze to Waitrose, Amazon, Marriott, Wetherspoons, to name but a few. And they've got, I think, the deepest penetration of any drinks wholesaler in the UK. So on the year, the shares have been as high as £2.40, low as £1.65. It's currently trading at £2.16, which, if you look at the chart, it's bounced several times in the past few weeks off the 200-day moving average at £2.12. So the technicals also caught my eye here as well. The fundamentals are very strong. We're heading towards a trading update in November, and this, coupled with the technical picture, I think makes the stock quite attractive. And clearly, you know, Christmas is the time of year when things go pretty well for drinks wholesalers and retailers, regardless, I think, of the state of the economy. But as we know, the economy is in good shape. The pound is taking a hammering, but this doesn't really affect Conviviality, which is why I've got the focus here. A couple of things of note recently: Shorecap, the broker, issued a buy note. We're heading towards a trading update next month. The results were pretty strong, sort of earlier in the year. The company has a dividend yield of 4.3%. So if you buy these shares at the current level, you're going to get a nice little bonus every year that'll beat inflation. And also, the board were just issued with share options, which vest over the longer term, and they are subject to the earnings per share performance and also the total shareholder performance return. So very much geared as to how well the shareholders do. So I like that. I think that's a good thing too. So there are lots of reasons to buy the company at this level. Clearly, we saw the fall off in the run-up to the Brexit vote, but since then the shares have recovered strongly to where they were, and I think there's every reason to expect them to go higher in the run-up to Christmas.
Yeah, well, do you know what? You couldn't mask the actual, you know, the brand of Bargain Booze more convincingly with Conviviality. The conviviality is really middle class sounding, isn't it? But Bargain Booze is down there in working class territory. And I'm looking on their website now, and they've got no tricks here. 8 for £12, that's £1.50 a bottle for Gold and Hobgoblin. They've got Spirit of the Month, that's Jägermeister. They've got Wine of the Month, Jacob's Creek, for £7.99. And they've got, 60 pence a can, Carling, £12 for, how many cans are there? 20 cans there. So they've got lots of offer. Ale of the Month, Saddlers, 3 for £5. They've got bargains galore there. All bargains, and it's all on booze.
So they haven't entirely shaken off Bargain Booze. I mean, cans of Carling at 65p, that is Bargain Booze territory, isn't it, really?
That is, well, exactly. It lives to the name, Bargain Booze.
If they were selling tenants, I'd be worried. But at least they've upgraded to Carling, so that's not quite so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you can't help but look on that website there and think they are doing what it says there. They are showing you booze that's at a bargain. It is essentially Bargain Booze, Al. Lovely. CVR is conviviality and, worth a look at. Cheers, Al. Speak soon.
Thanks, Jess. All the best. Cheers.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Tullow Energy. At 4, wow, it's always there, EVR Holdings. That's EVRH. At 3, 88 Energy. One of the most all-time top-followed companies. At 2, it's a new one. Doc talked about them on the podcast yesterday. Physiomics, PYC. And at number 1, phenomenal. It's been there now in the top 5 for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's still now number 1 for the last 2 days. It's CloudTag, CTAG. And a huge following behind that company. It really is remarkable. Remarkable. All right, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets was in the last, this morning this was actually. And it's Sky, which is odd. It's a big cap stock. And I liked it, and I saw several other likes. And a good quarterly update, I thought. You know, revenue's up by 7 billion. And they are one of the stocks in my, second stock in my, you know, punt for 1,000 to 100,000 in 50 trades or less. And I think they're undervalued at the moment. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Pay a good dividend and all that, but have a look at them. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list is Highland Natural Resources, HNR's ticker, submitted by Ryan J. Yeah, Ryan J, what's happening? The company did. What does the company do? Natural resource, oil and gas. How many shares does the company have an issue? 54 million. Current price and market cap. Share price is 25.25 pence. Market cap 15 million. And what revenue, profit, loss does the company generate? For the 6 months ended 31st of March 2016, they made a loss of 1.8 million. And there's no revenue there at the moment. Of course, they're an exploration company. All right. How much cash or debt does the company have? Zero debt. Zero. Since July 2016, the company has raised 5 million from warrants sold by Diversion. I list three reasons why people should put this company on the Vox Markets watch list. Number one, warrant clearance coming soon. Two, DT Ultravert with value of tech 3x market value. All right, so that's the technology they're using there. And number three, Helium Play has a net present value of $341 million just for methane gas. All right, so that's Highland Natural Resources, submitted by Ryan J. And like I said earlier, by all means, get involved. This little feature here is kept alive by you submitting your companies that you think people should add to their watch list. So go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. I scroll down, you'll see the picture, click the link there, there's a form, fill it in, 5 minutes, done. You know what I'm saying? And I'll feature it on a future podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.